Okay, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. We're going to call this meeting of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency Governing Board to order. The date is Wednesday, November 18th, 2020, and the time is 10:30. We're having a virtual meeting today, and the first item on the agenda is the roll call to determine quorum. Mario, would you please start the roll?
Ms. Alding. Mr. Beyer.
Here.
Ms. Birkbigler. Ms. Birkbigler. Mr. Bruce.
Here.
Mr. Cashman.
Here.
Mrs. Sagaski.
I'm here.
Ms. Faustinos.
Here.
Ms. Gustafson.
Here.
Mr. Hicks. Mr. Hicks. Miss Lane.
Here.
Mr. Lawrence.
Here.
Miss Novacell.
Here.
Mr. Rice.
Here.
Mr. Yates.
Here.
And Ms. Birkbigler. Mr. Hicks. Okay. Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Maria. Welcome, everybody. I will now go over the meeting rules for the day. To observe this meeting, go to trpa.org. Under announcements in the center of the page, click on Listen Live Governing Board November 18th, 2020 online meeting. Members of the public can find all the meeting materials under documents/meeting and notices/November 18th, 2020 Governing Board meeting. To participate in this Governing Board meeting with your comments, please utilize the hand raising function in the GoToWebinar platform at the appropriate agenda item. If you wish to make a comment about something not on the agenda, we will hear your comments during the general public comment period at the end of the meeting agenda, item 12. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the governing board. If you have contacted the TRPA for a reasonable accommodation and received a unique PIN for dial-in, please make sure you enter that PIN so that you may be identified and unmuted by TRPA staff. If you're using GoToWebinar's Instant Join web app, please make sure it is open in the Google Chrome browser and that you allow access to your microphone in order to be unmuted. If you're joining via the audio stream, please note this is a listen-only option. If you wish to address the governing board, you will need to log in via GoToWebinar on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. To governing board members, if you wish to speak, please alert me via the chat function. If you are online, or you can speak up if you're calling in. Please make sure you send your chat to panelists and organizers. Board members may only use the chat function to indicate desire to speak, and this function must not be used to have sidebar conversations. And finally, everyone, remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. We're at item two. The next item is the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's all unmute for the pledge. And Mark, if you would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
All right. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
liberty,
and justice for all.
Thank you very much. I see. Approval of the agenda. Moving on to that, is there any changes in the agenda other than the appeal item number 8, the Barrow Family Trust site assessment has been withdrawn, and that's why we didn't have a legal committee meeting.
Correct.
Anything else?
Nothing else, Mr. Chair. You covered the one change on the Barrow Family Trust agenda item 8 is withdrawn.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Marcia. I'm sorry I just stepped in. I'm sorry I missed roll call, but I am on.
All right. Thank you for letting us know, Marcia. Welcome aboard. And Jennifer, if you do, thank you. Approval of the minutes. And I had a notice of changes that staff made to the minutes, and now I don't have those in front of me right now. Maybe staff could read in the proposed changes to the set of amendments we are about ready to approve. Everybody's probably searching for that language like I am.
Mr. Chair, I can read that. Just give me a moment here.
Okay. Here, I have it, Aria. Staff has made some minor clerical edits to agenda number 8A, Tourist Core Area Plan Amendments in the City of South Lake Tahoe, and are requesting approval of the October 28th, 2020 minutes as amended. I ask for a motion to approve the minutes, or if anyone has any questions or comments on the minutes.
Motion for approval. This is Barbara Sagaski.
Thank you, Secretary Sagaski. I appreciate that. And all those in favor, say aye.
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 Any objections? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Item number 5 is the TRPA consent calendar. There are 9 items on consent. 8 items were reviewed by the Operations and Governance Committee, and the final item was not reviewed by any committee. As a reminder to the public, after board discussion of this item, you may raise your hand in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments on the consent calendar. And now I'll pass it over to the chair of the Operations and Governance Committee, Shelley Aldean, to give the committee's report.
Thank you, Bill. Items 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 were reviewed by the Operations and Governance Committee this morning, and all items were recommended for approval.
Thank you, Shelley. And consent calendar number 9 is the APC membership reappointment for the Washoe County lay member, Tim Calicrate. And this item is not reviewed by any committee, but as you can find it on page 71 of your packet. Are there any comments from my colleagues? Bud Hicks just sent me a note on chat that he has arrived. Welcome, Bud. And I don't see any comments on the consent calendar from my colleagues. So, Catherine, would you check out any public comments on consent?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If a member of the public wishes to make a comment on the consent calendar, you can use the raise your hand feature on the left side of your GoToWebinar control panel. And Mr. Chair, I don't see any hands raised to make a comment on this item.
Thank you. I'm ready for a motion on the consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Shelley. Any questions on that motion? Seeing none. Maria. Do I have to do a roll call, or is this, I think I can just do this by eyes and nose, right?
This one you can, but there's no project on it.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No, great. So that brings us to item number 6 and item number 6A, which is the Spirit of TRPA Awards presentation, honoring 50 years of the Bi-State Partnership Protecting Lake Tahoe. You can find that information for this on page 73 of your packet. And as a reminder to the public, after staff presentation and board discussion on this item and us going through our script, and that's one of the reasons you see both Mark and I on this, we are going to be co-hosting this wonderful presentation. And I will pass this over to Julie Reagan to introduce this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair. Hello, everyone. I am
Julie Reagan. I am Chief of External Affairs and Deputy Director at TRPA. Thanks for joining us. I have a very brief introduction, and then we are going to get right into our awards program for the spirit of TRPA. And I wanted to put this in context of the greater campaign that we've been running for the entire year for TRPA's 50th anniversary, and let you know just how proud we as TRPA staff have been to do the research to find the stories that really shaped the legacy of this bi-state partnership that's protecting Lake Tahoe. Some of you will recall our paper, Tahoe in Depth. If you have not had a chance to read this, please do at tahoeindepth.org. It is capturing, again, many stories of the giants who have preceded us. And it really leaves us all with a sense of humility that we are building on this work in carrying out the vision that many had so many decades ago. I will say that we've had to adapt this campaign and this program to recognize our anniversary amidst the pandemic. We had planned events and gatherings and receptions, none of which we were able to do. But in the spirit of adaptation, we've shifted gears. We are doing this virtually, and this program, I think, will do justice to the great work that we are here to celebrate. I'll also say that amidst this pandemic, you know, there's been significant loss in our country, and I think as we as Americans have taken stock of what it means, what is our sense of purpose, and what we see in person live today is that the people that have shaped the work of TRPA all were driven with this sense of purpose that we are proud to continue to carry out. So I will also mention that we do have an opportunity with the Lake Tahoe coin. We have a rendering of the coin to show you today that will bookend this anniversary celebration. And at the Carson City Mint in just a couple of weeks, there will be the first ever Lake Tahoe coin minted, and everyone will have an opportunity to support the legacy of Lake Tahoe and TRPA by donating to environmental education at trpa.org/coin. And we wanted to make sure that all those who are here listening in for this presentation were aware of this beautiful silver coin as part of our anniversary celebration. So thank you all for joining. I will turn this over to Victoria Ortiz, who will kick off the program, and then we'll hand it back to Chair and Vice Chair to bring in our awardees. So thank you all very much.
Thank you, Julie. And good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Victoria Ortiz. I'm the Community Engagement Manager for the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency. And for nearly 10 years, TRPA has recognized individuals in our communities who show exceptional commitment to protecting beautiful Lake Tahoe. The Lake Spirit Awards honors these impressive individuals and agency representatives who go above and beyond to protect the beauty of our region's spectacular environment and create more resilient communities. This year, however, to celebrate TRPA's 50th anniversary, we are reflecting on our own legacy and highlighting the individuals who embody the spirit of TRPA. These people worked, and many are still working, tirelessly to foster an atmosphere of epic collaboration to achieve our agency's vision for a lake environment that is sustainable, healthy, and safe for the community and future generations. Members of the Governing Board, APC, and staff voted on their top candidates in each decade to arrive at today's winners. We will be honoring 15 individuals and organizations whose contributions to the lake have had a lasting impact. Chair Yeast and Vice Chair Bruce will share a few words about each recipient, and awardees or designees will have the opportunity to speak following their commendations. We will begin with a short video to provide historical context for the work of these impressive individuals and organizations and what that meant for Lake Tahoe. This video highlights the history of the Lake Tahoe Basin, the need for TRPA and its formation, and celebrates major plans and programs such as the regional plan and the EIP. So thank you everyone again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy the presentation.
The pristine ecosystem of Lake Tahoe existed relatively untouched for thousands of years. In the late 1800s, when the first European-American settlers arrived, Tahoe's landscape began to change at a rapid pace. The insatiable need for timber to build the mines of the Comstock Lode led to a near clear-cutting of Tahoe's hillsides. By the turn of the 20th century, despite a nationwide movement to establish national parks, many felt Lake Tahoe couldn't be saved. Decades passed, and although trees grew back, the forest was dramatically altered. The lake became a quiet place for summer travelers and a handful of residents and ranchers. Then, the 1960 Winter Olympics in Squaw Valley put Lake Tahoe back on the map. New roads were built, tourism boomed, and the number of year-round residents skyrocketed. Land developers made plans for huge subdivisions, large highways, and even a bridge across Emerald Bay. Tahoe was envisioned to be a city of 750,000, as large as San Francisco. Streams were straightened and marshes were filled, all to make way for construction of new homes, motels, casinos, and ski resorts. Wastewater from septic systems and illegal pumping were fouling the water. Scientists, residents, environmental advocates, and lawmakers started to take notice. They knew that left unchecked, further development and shortcuts to growth would irreparably damage the lake. Understanding that polluted waters don't respect state and county lines, identical legislation was signed by the governors of Nevada and California and the President of the United States, establishing a bi-state compact to maintain an equilibrium between the region's natural endowment and its man-made environment, and to establish an area-wide planning agency, namely the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency. TRPA pushed forward despite legal challenges and used science as its guide to limit building on sensitive lands, create a system to strictly manage growth, and require erosion control on all public and private property within the Tahoe Basin. On the lake itself, the nation's first ban on highly polluting two-stroke marine engines was adopted. This change has reduced high concentrations of toxic hydrocarbons in the lake. Despite many successes, it became obvious that improving Lake Tahoe one project at a time wasn't enough. In 1997, President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore recognized the importance of Lake Tahoe and its environment, culminating in the signing of the Lake Tahoe Restoration Act. This opened up major funding for a list of priority projects under the banner of the Lake Tahoe Environmental Improvement Program, or EIP. The EIP is public and private investment in everything from erosion control to new bike trails, creek restorations, and programs that protect the lake from aquatic invasive species. TRPA has also built one of the most protective boat inspection programs in the nation to fight aquatic invasive species. The 2007 Angora fire that destroyed more than 254 homes and buildings was Tahoe's wake-up call. A new collaborative program was launched to address unhealthy forests. More than 63,000 acres of Tahoe's forests have been thinned to reduce wildfire risk over the last decade. In 2012, Tahoe turned its attention to the harms from the dated built environment. This commitment to environmentally conscious redevelopment and ecosystem protection is now a bedrock of environmental improvements and healthy communities. So where do we go from here? Our work to keep sediment out of the lake has slowed the loss of water clarity, but global climate change presents new challenges. Our communities face continued threats of wildfire, an affordable housing crisis, and recreation pressures on Tahoe's pristine environment. Significant transportation investments are needed to reduce harmful greenhouse gases and improve the quality of life for residents and visitors. Much of what drives TRPA today is remembering that long history of advocacy for Lake Tahoe while building a legacy for future generations. We are committed to working together with our partners, so communities, visitors, and residents are able to live in harmony with the natural environment. And Lake Tahoe remains pristine for thousands of years to come.
Bill, you're on mute.
Sorry, had everything going. Thank you. That was a beautiful video, and all those who helped put that together. It's just a marvelous lead into this. I, as chair, I'm really pleased and honored to kick off the awards, the Spirit of TRPA Award Program. Before we begin, I must make it clear that while we are proud to recognize the 15 extraordinary individuals and organizations today, this list is by no means exhaustive. TRPA has stood the test of time over these five decades because of the individuals we're recognizing and the work of countless others. We start in the 1960s decade and honor Dwight Steele and Co. Swoby, and I would like to begin with our first award to go to Dwight Steele. Dwight Steele was a towering figure in the conservation movement, winning great victories that have preserved both the Lake Tahoe Basin, but also the San Francisco Bay from misguided development and degradation. A lawyer by trade, Dwight's list of environmental wins for Tahoe are far too numerous to include in their entirety. They include advocating to end the dumping of sewage in the lake in the 1960s. And securing $85 million through a 1982 California bond to preserve environmentally sensitive lands. Dwight even served on our governing board in the late 70s. Dwight and the League to Save Lake Tahoe were the impetus for the Tahoe Transportation and Water Quality Coalition. This group was foundational to Tahoe's collaborative partnership model and brought together diverse interests to advocate as one voice for the basin in Washington, D.C. Dwight also co-founded the Tahoe Baikal Institute in 1981 for Russian and American students to visit one another's lakes and share strategies for their mutual preservation. Dwight's poise and calming demeanor endeared him to friends and opponents alike. As one of his colleagues from the League put it, Dwight could walk into a room of strangers and leave with a group of close confidants. Dwight passed away sadly in 2002, but we are honored to celebrate his legacy today. I once served with Dwight on the board of the Planning Conservation League, and this last paragraph is so true. Whenever Dwight entered a room, everything just seemed to focus upon him, and he always was the first one to ask how you were doing and what you were up to. And we have two people who are going to talk about Dwight. One is Larry Sevenson, our former colleague on the governing board. Larry, I saw you come up earlier on the screen if you want to turn on your webcam. Larry served with Dwight on the Tahoe on the governing board, and I understand you have a few comments you would like to make. Did we lose Larry? Well, there you are. There you are, Larry.
Larry, you're still on mute.
You're still on mute.
I'm still on mute.
You're on now.
Now we hear you.
Now we hear you. Thank you, Larry.
Well, I'm honored to have you ask me to talk about Dwight a little bit, but he was an incredible guy. And as I look back on the years, I sat with him on TRPA. He was very forceful and knew what he was talking about. And I certainly appreciate the opportunity. He opened your eyes to a lot of things that most people didn't see. And I think that was very helpful for all of us to get his wide view and perspective of things as he saw them. And I think it helped probably make the regional plan in its final finish what it is today. And I would just like to thank you and thank Dwight in his absence for all that's been put together on his behalf, and have his family realize that we did appreciate his efforts and the rewards that came from it. And thank you very much for asking me to comment.
Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate your comments. I'm sure his family does too. And also we have the executive director of the League to Save Lake Tahoe, Dr. Darcy Goodman Collins, who will also speak on behalf of Dwight as a former league director. Darcy?
Thank you, Bill, and good morning, everyone. I'm so honored to be here to speak about Dwight Steele. Larry and Bill, you both said so much about him, but I may reiterate some of the components and memories that you spoke about, Bill, because Dwight has done so much for the lake and for many of you out there, especially me. He's paved the way for so many of our efforts to protect the lake. Although I didn't have an opportunity to work closely with Dwight, I was fortunate enough to have met him on a handful of times as I was an intern for the League to Save Lake Tahoe when he was a board member for many years. Dwight was such a well-known conservationist and part of the conservation movement in California, not only with Lake Tahoe, but as you mentioned, Bill, in San Francisco. And he helped to start Save the Bay, which is a similar organization to the League to Save Lake Tahoe. And I feel that my path has followed his so closely because I used to work for Save the Bay before coming up to work for the League to Save Lake Tahoe. So I feel I'm following in his footsteps and his great legacy of protecting Lake Tahoe, including stopping the dumping of sewage in the lake in the 1960s and securing the $85 million through a 1982 California bond to preserve environmentally sensitive lands. And he, as Bill also mentioned, was the impetus for starting that Tahoe Transportation and Water Quality Coalition. And the momentum created by that event has resulted in more than $1 billion in funding for Tahoe. And the iteration, the most recent iteration of that group, which I'm honored, along with partners Julie Reagan and Steve Teixeira and others to be a part of, continues his legacy today. He was the co-founder of the Tahoe by Call Institute, and I was able to be a participant of that organization as well as the board president and saw the fruits of his labors in that organization. And I know he passed away in 2002, but his legacy will maintain for as long as the lake is blue. And we're so grateful to have his experience and to look at him and his ability to build relationships and to really work very closely with people as a model as we continue this period of collaboration. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Darcy. Those are fond memories. Dwight Steele was really a remarkable man. There are some people in my path that I just really admired for what they were able to accomplish. Dwight Steele was one of them. And any other board comments, if you've got any comments, you can go on chat or feel free just to speak up if you'd like at this point. Okay, I think, Mark, I will turn this over to you.
Thank you. Our next award is being presented to Ko Swope. On the long list of people who have helped advance the conservation of Lake Tahoe's environment, Ko Swope's name stands out. The Reno resident and third generation Nevadan, who died in May 2016, is known as the father of the Tahoe Compact for his work across state lines to make protecting the lake a bi-state and bipartisan reality. As a Republican state senator in Nevada from 1966 to 1974, Ko played a leading role in crafting the agreement between California and Nevada that created TRPA through the nation's first environmental bi-state compact. Ko also championed legislation to create Sand Harbor State Park on the east shore of Lake Tahoe, helping create what today is one of Nevada's most popular parks. He served on the TRPA governing board from 2001 to 2008, raising awareness about the need to remove hazardous fuels and reduce the wildfire risk at Tahoe. When it came to Lake Tahoe, politics didn't matter to Co. It's a timely reminder, and we are pleased to present Co's family with this Spirit of TRPA Award to honor his great legacy. I had the opportunity to see and talk with Co a number of times. And what struck me, frequently I'd see him eating lunch, and you knew it when he was in the room, because everybody in the room would go over and pay respects and talk to him about what was happening and try to get the little pearls of wisdom that he'd have to share with you from time to time. Karen Swob, his daughter, is here and is going to be speaking with us. I'd also like to mention that Karen and I have worked together on a board for at-risk children. So I see in her a lot of what we saw in Co, in an effort to make the community and the state a better place. Karen, can you please be sure to turn on your camera while you're speaking? I think there's just a little delay, Bill. Setting up the camera. Victoria, do you have
Karen, if you look at the top of the screen, it should say share my webcam. And there you can also unmute yourself. Great, I just saw you unmuted yourself. I'm not hearing anything coming through though.
Karen, there are circles on the top of the web page there. They turned green.
Karen, can you try speaking? I see that your microphone is on. Unfortunately, I'm not hearing anything. Maybe for now.
Is the volume on the computer up? Because sometimes on the tab up on the top of your computer board, your the keyboard, if you take off the mute or if you increase the volume on the top of that keyboard, that will help too.
Hello?
Hi.
This would be Karen's sister, Jackie Swob, speaking.
Oh, hi. How
are you? I don't know why my sister can't quite plug in, but I guess I don't know what I'll say. I agree with you that I see a lot of my dad and my sister with what she does for our community. Dad would be thrilled with this. I think I have my mom sitting here too. Janet's sitting with me.
We're waiting for Karen.
Yeah, we're waiting for Karen to do the speaking, but my dad would be absolutely thrilled. He has he had a lot of compassion for Lake Tahoe. It was his driving force, and very true that Lake Tahoe was above politics for him. Politics didn't enter into it for his world and his view of Lake Tahoe and trying to keep it as pristine as possible. So we do thank you for honoring him today.
Thank you so
Karen,
much.
Karen, where are you? So thank you very much.
We really appreciate you being here.
Here, we're all here. My children are, all three of the grandkids are here too.
One's in Florida, and two are in Reno.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's great. Victoria, should I go to the 70s decade, or we're going
to... To the board, maybe?
Maybe to the board comments, and then to...
Okay.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Any board comments? I don't see any. Okay. Victoria, I don't see any, so maybe I go on to the 70s decade.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Karen, if you can figure out the mic at the end, maybe we can get you to speak then.
That would be great. That'd be nice. And it was very nice to have a lot of his family there to hear this. This was very
yes,
nice.
Yes, it was.
So the 1970s decade, we're honoring Dr. Charles Goldman and the Tahoe Water Suppliers Association. It's my great honor, and he certainly needs no introduction, but to talk about Dr. Charles Goldman, a distinguished professor emeritus at UC Davis Department of Environmental Science and Policy. He devoted his career to studying the effects of environmental pollutants on lake ecology. Dr. Goldman has worked on every continent on the globe, from Oregon's Crater Lake to Antarctica, where a glacier was named after him. Dr. Goldman's long-term Lake Tahoe ecosystem study on the early stages of eutrophication, excess richness of nutrients, made it possible for the governments to make decisions based on sound science. He founded the Tahoe Research Group at UC Davis, now known as the Tahoe Environmental Research Center, with a world-class laboratory here at the lake. Dr. Goldman's enduring efforts to understand and protect Lake Tahoe have inspired many others. Over his 52 years of teaching, he was an inspiring mentor to 1,500 undergraduate students, more than 100 graduate students, and 37 postdoc students. These students have made lasting scientific contributions. He has served as an advisor to presidents, governors, senators, and countless other leaders about the environmental health of Lake Tahoe. His early records on Lake Clarity now allow Lake Tahoe to have one of the longest running data sets of any lake in the world. And just last week, in honor of Dr. Goldman's 90th birthday, the League to Save Lake Tahoe and UC Davis's Tahoe Environmental Research Center launched the Thanks a Million campaign to raise $1 million for the Charles Goldman Endowed Fund for research stipends. And Dr. Goldman, we're pleased to have you with us. And if you could turn on your camera, we would love to hear from you.
Unfortunately, it's looking like Dr. Goldman is having some tech issues, but the wonderful gentleman has actually sent me his comments, so I can read those on his behalf. He just said, thank you so much. Tahoe is a lake that early on was recognized as very unique and could suffer the fate of many lakes during the early and mid part of the last century, which were being degraded by eutrophication, the greening of lakes from excess nutrient input. He said science was very important, as I was able through our Tahoe research group from UC Davis to demonstrate that the best treated sewage from STPUD plant could not be discharged into the lake without dire consequences. Five distinguished sanitary engineers plus a Swiss expert accepted this finding, and the export of treated and untreated sewage was begun. The most important research to application demonstration that I know of. He also adds that as science has taken such a political hit in the last few years, I would like to make it very clear that climate change has naturally taken a rear seat to the COVID crisis, but remains the greatest threat to humanity and the future water quality of Tahoe and the world's other freshwater and marine resources in the years ahead. The greatest threat to humanity since the development of the atomic bomb. So he says, thank you again for this kind award. and apologizes for the technical difficulties.
Well, there's certainly no need to apologize. We seem to be having problems even among some of my board members. Jim Lawrence said he was having troubles getting kicked on and off. It's part of the 2020 virtual process, I'm afraid. Any other comments from my colleagues? And probably Jim would want to speak on this, but he's having difficulty getting on and off, and I don't see any others. So, Mark, if you would present the next award.
Yes, please. So it's my pleasure and honor to talk a little bit about the Tahoe Water Suppliers Association. It's a partnership comprised of California and Nevada municipal water agencies dedicated to providing clean and safe drinking water. The association is comprised of 12 member agencies that maintain award-winning water systems and deliver some of the finest drinking water in the world. Members are being recognized for their extraordinary environmental service and maintaining state-of-the-art systems that export all treated effluent out of the Tahoe Basin to protect the lake's clarity. Based on Dr. Goldman's groundbreaking research that called for wastewater export, these agencies have constructed and maintained some of the most important environmental infrastructure in the history of the Tahoe Basin. The association is an active partner in our collective advocacy work to protect Lake Tahoe, and we commend them with this award. One thing that I would like to note and should never go without mention is that at every Tahoe summit, they're there hydrating us, and they're there providing us with those fantastic glass bottles that my wife and I take everywhere we go. And I think everybody knows when they see those that the association is alive and well. We have Madonna Dunbar to accept the award for TWSA. Madonna, would you please be sure to turn on your camera while you're speaking?
Thank you very much. Are you hearing me?
We are. Thank you so much for being
okay.
here.
Okay. Oh, I am delighted to be here. My name is Madonna Dunbar. I am the executive director of the Tahoe Water Suppliers Association, and I'm extremely honored to accept this award on behalf of the Tahoe Water Suppliers Association. You spoke a moment ago about our membership and all the work that we do. But we want to also recognize it's not just us. We want to accept this award in recognition of the decades of contributions to source water protection by all the water suppliers and all the wastewater utilities in the Tahoe region. These utilities supply drinking water of excellent and award-winning quality to all our communities and our visitors. Some of them also provide, in the background, the sewer collection, the treatment, and the export that you spoke about that is so important to protecting Tahoe's delicate ecosystem. Managing this complex operation of hundreds of thousands of lines and infrastructure pieces requires an uncommon level of environmental sensitivity and dedication. We're talking about processing millions of gallons of water and wastewater daily. This award belongs to the utility workers, the many dedicated water and wastewater utility staff who have worked 365 days a year around the clock for more than 50 years cumulatively now to provide these vital community services. From the leadership of the 60s, by the 1970s, all of Tahoe's, before 1970, all of Tahoe's treated sewage was being pumped out of the basin, and it is still done so today. More than 50 years after this massive undertaking of creating export systems for all the communities at Lake Tahoe and removing all the septic systems, this action has been recognized as a major factor in preserving Lake Tahoe's excellent drinking water and our recreational potential with such a fantastic and clean lake. There are very few freshwater lakes in the world that have ever received this level of protection, and Tahoe is used globally as an example of that success. We thank you for this recognition.
Thank you so much, Madonna. I appreciate it. Thanks for being here and accepting the award. I've got my water bottle right here. Board comments? Do we have board comments?
I don't see any, Mark. So we'll move on to the 1980s decade, where we're honoring Dennis Machida and Clem Shute. And Mark, you're going to lead off with the award to Dennis Machida.
Yes, it's my great honor to recognize Dennis Machida. Dennis served as the executive director of the California Tahoe Conservancy from 1985 to 2005, when he unexpectedly passed away while delivering a speech on conservation near Yellowstone National Park. Dennis's dedication, he dedicated his life to public service and was a compassionate voice for the environment in California. Under his leadership, the Tahoe Conservancy acquired more than 7,400 acres of land and engineered nearly 600 projects on the California side of the Lake Tahoe Basin, all to help preserve our pristine mountain environment. Under Dennis's leadership, the Conservancy and TRPA formed a crucial partnership that prevented scores of harmful and ill-advised development projects that could have forever scarred the basin. Co-workers and friends remembered Dennis as the consummate leader, kind and driven, whose impressive understanding of the history, the politics, and the background of Tahoe environmental issues led to many victories for Tahoe's preservation. I think
Mark,
here today,
if I could, before you introduce Nathan,
yes,
I'd also, I knew Dennis, especially in the early days. Dennis and I shared a mentor together, Joe Petrillo, who was the executive officer of the first California Conservancy, the Coastal Conservancy. And when Governor Duke Majum was elected as governor of the state of California, he wasn't a real fan of the Coastal Commission, but he appointed as Secretary of Resources Gordon Van Vleck, a cattleman outside of Sacramento. And Dennis knew Gordon pretty well. And so he was able to convince Secretary Van Vleck that Lake Tahoe deserved to have its own conservancy. So not only was he the first executive director, he spawned the idea and sold the Duke Majum administration on the idea of having a Tahoe conservancy.
Thank you so much. And my understanding is that Nathan, his son, will speak on his behalf. Nathan, would you please be sure to turn on your camera while you're speaking?
Hello, can everyone hear me?
We can. We can. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm Nathan, son of Dennis Machida, and I'm honored to be given the opportunity to speak. Thank you for giving my father this recognition. I'm very grateful that my father's work in the Tahoe Basin continues to be appreciated by other team players in the local environmental community. Thanks to the efforts of TRPA and other partner organizations, future generations will be able to enjoy the lake like I did growing up. So thank you for all the good work that you do. My father would be very honored.
Thank you, Nathan. We're thankful for your father. All right, board comments. Do we have any board comments? I'm looking at the chat to see if there's anybody. Board members, if you do have comments, please, if you can't get to your chat, just chime in, okay? All right, Bill, it looks like Clem's up.
Clem is up, and this is a really treat for me. I'll just read what we have, and there he is. It's good you got your camera on, Clem. You're all set. I don't know whether we should honor you or just roast you, but I'll go with the honor first. So prior to his service on TRPA's governing board, Clem successfully defended land use regulations to protect Lake Tahoe in the landmark 2002 environmental law decision before the U.S. Supreme Court. Clem had a well-earned reputation for providing legal services with high ethics and collegiality and demonstrating a commitment to working on challenging environmental issues based on their merit. While serving on the governing board of TRPA, Clem took a leadership role in resolving the contentious dispute over the proposed regional plan update leading to the approval of the regional plan on December 12, 2012, earning the respect of his colleagues on the governing board. This landmark achievement quite literally saved the agency from disillusion and recommitted the two states to a collaborative partnership to protect Lake Tahoe. As chair of the Regional Plan Implementation Committee, and boy, are you missed now, Clem, Clem worked closely with TRPA staff and the members of the Development Rights Working Group to make changes to the regulation of commodities to further the implementation of the regional plan's goals and policies that encourage redevelopment of the existing underutilized commercial buildings. Clem's leadership was also integral to achieving a unanimous vote on the controversial shoreline plan, which nobody said would happen, right? Overcoming decades of rancorous litigation and conflict, Clem promoted broader regional objectives as TRPA began to evaluate the Tahoe Transportation District's Highway Loop Road, working with TRPA and TDD staff and the California Attorney General's Office, the League to Save Lake Tahoe, and other stakeholders. This significant project identified in the Tahoe Compact is moving forward. The project will transform the South Shore's tourist core area, rerouting Highway 50 and delivering critical affordable housing and neighborhood amenities for the impacted community. The Main Street Management Plan, which is before us today, Clem, will also create more a pedestrian-friendly environment in the heart of the tourist core. When Clem retired from the governing board, he left behind a legacy of commitment to the ideals established in the Lake Tahoe Compact for the protection of Lake Tahoe. Clem, great to see you. And
can I say one thing?
Certainly, Mark, I think you should weigh in too.
Okay, I'd love to weigh in. So, Clem, the hardest part for me on all of this is figuring out which decade to stick you in.
Well, you made a big mistake. I was in high school in the 1980s.
Well, that appears to be true from the video footage here. But I just want to let you know that you've been a great mentor to me and a great partner and colleague in TRPA, and I just want to thank you for everything.
Well, thank you.
That's true, Clem. I miss out. I am so unprepared by the time I start a governing board meeting because I don't have the two-hour drive with you in which you fill me in on not only the history but the policy behind what we're trying to do. And so you are allowed whatever time you need to respond to your colleagues.
Well, thank you. And first of all, it's just great to see your faces and hear your voices, Bill and Mark, and hear the voices of some of the other board members. I heard part of your operations committee meeting and heard Shelley and other Tim and some voices that I miss. So, you know, I started in the Attorney General's office in 1970, well, actually before 1970, but in 1970, this agency came along, the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency, and the counties were supposed to provide property tax revenue to fund the agency, and they refused on the basis that it was interfering with their constitutional right to regulate land use. So my first involvement in Tahoe was bringing a suit to force the counties to pay to fund the agency so it could hire staff and do a plan. And from that point on, for 50 years until 2020, you know, various times, mostly engaged in Tahoe issues and passionate about it, representing the League to Save Lake Tahoe, the state of California, Tahoe Regional Planning Agency, and then 9 years as a governing board member. And I do want to speak to the 1980s. That was a period of great distrust. Nobody trusted anybody else. Nevada threatened to withdraw from the compact. You know, we had that happen again in 2012. And the agency was on the brink of failing. And there were lawsuits, including litigation brought by the state of California. I represented the League to Save Lake Tahoe in a suit. And through the efforts of some visionary people, including Dennis Machida and Bill Morgan and a few others, a consensus process was put together. And out of that came the 1987 plan, which really put the agency on the road to a correct and proper way of treating the environment at Lake Tahoe. Now that plan served pretty well, I think, for a lot of years. And then it became outdated and political fractures started to appear again. Nevada actually did pass a law to withdraw from the compact. Again, there was no trust. And it took a major effort of governing board members. Many of you are still on the governing board, and people like Secretary Laird from the Secretary of Resources under Governor Brown II, to adopt the 2012 regional plan update. And I observed that a lot of the same kind of distrust issues, fights between the states that happened in the 1980s happened again in the early 2000s. And I'm hoping that that cycle doesn't repeat itself over 20 years and that the collaborative effort the TRPA and others in the basin are undertaking will sort of prevent that kind of dissolution of trust, which is probably the most important thing. So I greatly appreciate receiving this award. I will accept it myself for my 50 years of service, not just the 1980s. And thank you.
Thank you, Clint.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the board?
I would like to.
Bill, this is Shelley.
Go ahead, Shelley.
Hi, Clem.
Hi, Shelley. Nice to hear
from your voice as well. You know, it goes without saying that we miss your leadership and your even-handed approach to solving some pretty thorny issues that have come before the agency. And I guess my only question is, why did you leave? Was it something we said?
It was the fact that you couldn't drink during governing board meetings.
I mean, alcohol.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's a reasonable explanation. Listen, you're deserving of this award, and we hope that you'll come back to the lake and visit us sometime in person when COVID is in the past, and we can visit with you a little longer.
Thank you. Thank you. I will do that.
I heard someone else wanted
Brooke. Brooke had comments.
Yes, thank you. Congratulations, Mr. Shute.
Thank you.
I knew Dwight Steele. My mom and Dwight worked together back in the 70s and 80s. I've had dinner with Dr. Goldman. I had the honor of serving on the CTC board with Dennis Machida when he was the executive director back in the 90s. Wow. But nothing made me more nervous as to when you pulled me aside at a TRPA meeting and asked if you could speak to me. So... I want you to know that I've known of you for some time, but it was really an honor to work with you recently and to try to mitigate some of the problems with the loop road. And just quite an honor to have been around. And I know for sure your reputation will be well into the future. So thank you.
Thank you, Brooke. I appreciate that.
Hey, this is Barbara Sagowski from Nevada.
Hi, Barbara. And
hi, Clem. I just want to say congratulations. Couldn't be a better person that I think deserves the award, and I want to thank you for your leadership on TRPA, and it's been my pleasure to get to know you and serve with you. So thank you, and God bless you.
Well, thank you very much.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Hi, Clem. This is Casey.
Hi, Casey.
We came aboard the board almost simultaneously years ago as California governor appointees, and it was an honor and a pleasure to serve to you. I learned not only the law, but I learned the way of the world through the California State Legislature and all that you do for the Lake Tahoe Basin. So congratulations on this well-deserved award. I think it should be a lifetime achievement award for your dedication, not only to California, but to the Lake Tahoe Basin. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Clem, Tim Cashman.
Hey, Tim.
It's a pleasure getting to know you, and you spoke in your comments about trust. I learned a lot about how you build trust, particularly through the RPIC, not RPIC, but particularly through the regional plan project in the 11 and 12 from you. And I want to congratulate you on single-handedly helping to rebuilding the trust between the states. I think it was a great accomplishment, and it was a pleasure to get to know you. congratulations.
That means a lot. That means a lot, Jim. I really appreciate that.
Hey, Clem, it's Belinda. I just want to give you my congratulations and thanks for all you did to mentor me when I came onto the board. You were just phenomenal, and we miss you a whole bunch. So drop in frequently.
Thank you.
I'm Mr. Chair, this is Bud Hicks, and I'd like to join my colleagues in the tributes to Clem. Clem, you were just great to work with. My only regret is that I didn't have more time to work with you, but I am aware of what you did back in the 80s and in early 2000 when the tensions were high between the two states, and you were masterful. You helped bring everything together, and you deserve all these awards, and I agree. This is a lifetime award for you. Thank you very much for your service.
Well, thank you. I will take it as that. That's the way I will think of it, and I do appreciate that. Well, thanks to all of you. I was glad to hear all your voices.
One other thing. I know that Jim would jump in, but he's having technical difficulties. And
I'm sure he would, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He might even say something nice.
I'm sure he would.
Fantastic. You guys were great partners.
We were.
So it was good to see you, Clem. We do miss you. We do miss you, Clem, and hope you're well. And take care of yourselves down in Arizona.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good to be here.
Thanks.
Adios. Bye-bye.
Bye, Clem.
Bye.
So we turn now to the 1990s, and we're honoring Jim Baeche and Steve Teixeira. And I will begin with Jim Baeche, who served as the executive director of TRPA from 1997 to 2000, and recently retired as the agency's hearings officer. Staff and partners appreciated Jim's thoughtful insights. People recall that he was always asking how a project could improve the environment as opposed to just wanting to know what the negative environmental impacts of a project might be. From the simplest projects to cell phone towers that filled the room with interested parties, and that hasn't changed, Jim always took the time to consider all the comments and questions from the engaged public applicants. He was a steady, consistent, and knowledgeable leader at TRPA, who will be deeply missed as he steps away from his role as hearings officer. Jim is considered by many to be the father of the Environmental Improvement Program, guiding the agency through the development of what is now an unparalleled partnership working to achieve the environmental goals of the region. Jim's mantra, "The project is the fix," reflected a paradigm shift that brought disparate parties together. Staff member Paul Nielsen was working on a project that involved a significant exterior modification to one of the casinos on the South Shore. The design was controversial, and the other staff were giving him a hard time about how it looked like Superman's Fortress of Solitude. Jim not only was supportive of the unique design, he also suggested we add improvements to pedestrian amenities on the property, which were ultimately incorporated in the project. With his leadership, the project was approved by the governing board, but unfortunately never built. Paul suggested that Jim should be added to the list of the supermen and superwomen who are champions for Lake Tahoe. It's a pleasure to give you this award, Jim. And it says that you'll be present, but you weren't planning on responding. But if you want to, simply turn on your webcam and your mic and share with us your thoughts. And Victoria, you may know one way or the other on this.
Yeah, it looks like he is being listed as a panelist now. So, Jim, if you want to speak, feel free. You just click on that microphone. But if not, no problem. I think we can take that as humble gratitude.
Well, I think that speaks probably a lot for him. And I think as a person who worked obviously behind the scenes and did an awful lot of good for Lake Tahoe. Any other comments from my colleagues? Hearing none and seeing none on the chat, I will pass it over to you, Mark.
Great. Thank you so much. It's my great honor and privilege to introduce Steve Teixeira. More than 30 years ago, Steve Teixeira began serving the residents and visitors in the Lake Tahoe region as a brave young journalist, weathering both political and winter storms to deliver the news and his opinions on how to improve this region. Steve's contributions to the community are too numerous to name, from leading the Tahoe Gaming Alliance to representing the North and South Shores Chambers of Commerce. Steve has been a tireless advocate for the Lake Tahoe Environmental Improvement Program in Washington, D.C. He's also the former chair of the Federal Advisory Committee, where he advocated for hundreds of millions of dollars to benefit Lake Tahoe. Steve was appointed to the TRPA Advisory Planning Commission in January 2012, bringing a wealth of regional history to the APC as the Tahoe Transportation District's representative, later serving as chair. His reputation for being consistent and fair has made him instrumental in raising the awareness and knowledge of colleagues and stakeholders engaged in transportation, housing, and Main Street planning. Known as a resident historian, Steve has been a proactive community leader, passionately pursuing a civic-minded duty to make our region more sustainable. His tireless work to make Tahoe a better place inspires all of us. And in just, I think the single word in Tahoe that defines Steve is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is part of every conversation. He is interested in every aspect of the well-being of Lake Tahoe, and it's just an honor to give him this award. Steve, please be sure to turn on your camera. Let's see. Are we?
He's got his camera.
You're on.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Bill, and thank you, everyone. This is quite a recognition. It's a tough act to follow Clem and Jim Baichi, who I clearly agree is the father of the Environmental Improvement Program. I had a lot of wonderful experiences in my time here at Tahoe, which goes back almost 50 years. But I really got involved in the issues, as Mark said, as a reporter in the early 80s when I covered TRPA and the adoption of the environmental thresholds in August of 1982 at the Old Chateau. And I've had a lot of great mentors along the way, certainly Jim Baichi, Dwight Steele, Clem Shute. A particular person I wanted to mention today was Stan Hansen, who worked for a succession of owners of Heavenly Resort and was instrumental as a private sector leader in redevelopment in South Lake Tahoe and the building of the gondola at Heavenly. And also you see some of my contemporaries, the Lake Tahoe Partnership, Darcy and Julie and Andrew and myself. And also before the Lake Tahoe Transportation Water Quality Coalition, there was actually the Tahoe Transportation Coalition, which Dwight Steele and others organized in Sacramento after years of litigation over the regional plan. When it finally came to fruition in 1987, we who had been on opposite sides got together and decided that we wanted to try to help do something specific to make the regional plan a success. And we focused on transportation. And again, that evolved to the Lake Tahoe Transportation and Water Quality Coalition right before the historic presidential forum, because we wanted to make sure that water quality was included in the recognition of the work that we were doing. So I've worked closely over the years with TRPA, certainly with TTD, with all of the local governments of Tahoe, with officials at the state level in both California, Nevada, and the federal level. But my role has primarily been one as a representative and advocate for the private sector and the broader community. So it's an honor to be recognized with this august group of leaders and organizations who are being recognized by you all today. And I'm honored to be just a part of the great team over the decades that has worked to support and preserve Lake Tahoe for this and future generations. I want to accept this recognition in part on behalf of my late wife, Penny. She was a guiding light and a steering current for me throughout all these years, and I couldn't have done it without her support. So thank you all very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Very well deserved.
I appreciate what you said about your late wife. That's very nice. Take care of yourself. Omnipresent is absolutely true. I think everywhere I went when I first came on the board, there was Steve to share it. But any other comments? Cindy, I see.
Wes.
Wes?
Yeah.
Wes, I'll start with you.
Thank you. I first met Steve when I was interviewed for a vacancy on the Round Hill GID. I had no idea who he was or what he was about. And he shepherded me through the learning process, as it were. And he left the board because he was termed out, and as I am about to do. When I ran for county commissioner, he was very, very helpful, very supportive. And I just cannot thank you enough for all that you've done for me and all that you've done for Round Hill and our community and what you've done for the lake. Thank you. It's been a pleasure to know you, Steve.
Thank you, Wes. And thank you, neighbor.
Cindy, you have a comment?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve, so we've been through so much together. I think about what a mentor you've been to me. There is no one with more energy and passion and commitment, and no one who could attend more meetings than you, that's for sure. And there was no one else I could call at 5 a.m. and know he was up and energized and ready to figure out the day. Very few friends that you can call at 5 in the morning who say, yes, what can I do? You've just been incredibly dedicated to our region. You deserve this so much, as do all the recipients. And I am just so proud to know you and have served with you through many of those. And I would really like to say that from the very beginning, in our work with Dwight way back, you truly were the father of transportation and keeping that momentum moving on transportation issues in the basin and trying to find resolutions. So thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate it very much.
Sue Novosel.
Yeah, hi. Well, first, I'm sorry I had to step away from my computer for a few minutes, so I didn't get a chance to congratulate Clem. He was huge in providing wisdom and direction on my first years with the board, and I want to thank him. And again, for mirroring what I heard from Cindy and others is Steve. You are omnipresent. You have been so much a part of Tahoe and all the boards. And, you know, you are Mr. Transportation. And I've appreciated your mentoring and your ability to get us to the bottom line on a lot of things. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate your wisdom and all the hard work you've done for our community here. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Shelley.
Hi, Steve. I think we first met when you became the head of the Gaming Alliance. I think, didn't you succeed Mike Van Wagenen after his death?
Yes.
In any event, I think that's the first time that you and I crossed paths.
It was actually, you were on the board of the Preservation Council, and I was the executive director.
Oh, there you go. There you go. See, your memory is much better than mine. But I think that, as others have said, you are ubiquitous. You have an incredible sense of dedication and commitment. And I appreciate the fact that you have illustrated, I think, to a lot of us that actions to benefit business and the environment are not mutually exclusive. So thank you for your balanced approach and for always offering your sage advice on issues that confront us at the governing board. And I think we are better for having your input. So thank you again, and we We will continue to look forward to seeing you at future meetings.
Thank you very much, Shelley. Thank you.
Brooke?
Yes, thank you, Steve. I just wanted to say congratulations. I've had the honor of working with you politically since the 90s up to today. And the one thing I really admire about you is whether we agree or disagree completely or even partially, you are always supportive and you always have positive things to say. It's very admirable. So congratulations, well deserved.
Thank you, Brooke. And I want to mention that your mother, Dell, when she was the mayor of the city of South Lake Tahoe and chair of the TTD board when I first started going to meetings in the 80s, was another great mentor, a leader I very much admired and appreciate all the contributions you and your family made over the years.
That's very kind. I will pass that on to her. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't see any others on the chat, but if anyone wants to speak up, feel free. Okay, we're going to move on to the 2000s and recognize some amazing legislative leaders, Dianne Feinstein, Harry Reid, and Dean Heller. And it's my honor to start off with former Senator Harry Reid. I start just by paraphrasing his own story that he told us at the San Harbor summit that we held. He talked about Tahoe really needed something. Things were not looking good at Tahoe. He was troubled with what could be done. And he thought, well, I need some kind of hearing or something, but a hearing wasn't good enough and a workshop didn't really fit. What he really wanted was a summit, something big. A summit seemed right and a presidential summit sounded really good. But he didn't quite know how you do those kind of things. So he called up his old friend from the Senate, who was Vice President Al Gore, and said, Al, I got this great idea. How about we do a presidential summit at Lake Tahoe? And, of course, Vice President was all for it, too. And so they talked the president into doing this. And Clinton and Gore came out. And that really launched what we do annually now, these annual summits. And it really is galvanizing nationally for the lake. It brings so many together. And it really was a politician scratching his head as to what needed to be done. And as a result of having President Clinton, he closed out his tenure by inviting President Obama to come and at a really packed outside of Harvey's, we had President Obama address all of us and recognize Senator Reid's historic career, not only as a politician, but certainly as someone who cared so much about Lake Tahoe and did so much for the lake. And it's my understanding that Megan McGowan, his former staff, will be speaking on his behalf. And Megan, if you're here, there you are. Hi, Megan.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you very much.
My name is Megan McGowan, as Bill mentioned. Senator Reid asked me to speak on his behalf today and extend his thanks for the recognition, as well as express his gratitude for the work that continues today to preserve Lake Tahoe. As many of you know, and as Bill mentioned, Senator Reid had a goal of bringing federal attention to the needs of Lake Tahoe and the surrounding basin. In 1997, Senator Reid invited then-President Bill Clinton to Lake Tahoe to see firsthand the beauty of the lake and the need for increased federal support to protect one of the nation's natural wonders. At the inaugural Lake Tahoe Summit, President Clinton, Vice President Gore, four cabinet secretaries, the senators from Nevada and California, and the state's governors worked with various stakeholders, task forces, and working groups to commit support and collaboration to keep Tahoe blue. 20 years later, in 2016, Senator Reid bookended his involvement with the summit by hosting President Barack Obama as the keynote speaker, with over 7,000 attendees learning about Lake Tahoe. Over the years, Senator Reid's efforts have brought over $2 billion of support to work to the work of improving the Lake Tahoe area and the basin. And Senator Reed considers this an important personal legacy. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank please thank Senator Reed for his many accomplished and continued support of our efforts. Any other comments from my colleagues? Okay, I don't see any, so I will move on. As thank you, Megan. And if there was someone to bookend or just represent the west side of Lake Tahoe, it would have to be Senator Dianne Feinstein, who, as she will tell you at any number of our dinners we go to around the summit time or whatnot, her childhood experiences on the lake, even her husband Dick Blum's experiences also as a young man at the lake and working at the lake. But I really don't think there is a nook or a cranny at Lake Tahoe that Dianne Feinstein doesn't know about or care about. And she, along with Harry Reid, helped put Lake Tahoe on that federal map as a national treasure, garnering hundreds of millions of dollars in restoration and funding from the federal government. From assisting Senator Reid in bringing Bill Clinton to the shores of the lake for the first Tahoe summit and delivering on the Lake Tahoe Restoration Acts of 2000, and working with Senator Heller on 2016. These leaders have unparalleled legacies protecting the beauty of Lake Tahoe. As I understand, Caitlin Meyer from her office will be speaking on behalf of Senator Feinstein. Caitlin, if you could please turn it, there you are. Hi there.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Caitlin. Hello.
Thank you so much for including us. My name is Caitlin Meyer. I have been with Senator Feinstein for about 7.5 years now. And if there's one thing I have learned about her in that time is that she loves Lake Tahoe with all of her heart and all of her being, and that she's derived so much satisfaction out of her work around the lake with all of you over the years. She asked me to speak on her behalf. She sent a note, which we will send over in hard copy to you. So I will read that note. But again, just want to thank you for including us. All right, so from the Senator, good morning. I so wish I could join you all today. As many of you know, Lake Tahoe has long been one of my favorite places on earth. So accepting this award alongside colleagues I respect so much is a great honor. Thank you. And while I very much appreciate the recognition, what I appreciate even more is your tremendous partnership over the years. Joanne, Julie, your staff, your board, and the rest of Team Tahoe, you do the hard work every single day of bringing stakeholders together to protect our national treasure and ensure it remains pristine for generations to come. I am deeply grateful to you for all you do, and I am proud of what we've accomplished together. We've secured several $100 million in federal funding, pulled off 24 summits, and so much more. And I know the best is yet to come. I'm eager to continue what we've started, and I am so happy we get to do it together. Thank you again, and take good care. I hope to see all of you soon.
Thank you, Caitlin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And please, please pass on our appreciation to the Senator.
I will.
Any board comments, please? Okay, Mark, you're up.
Yes. All right. I have the honor and the privilege of introducing Senator Heller. We are honored to have him here today, I believe. Throughout his career, Senator Heller has been an extraordinary champion for Lake Tahoe, actively and behind the scenes. In all of his capacities, Senator Heller has fought for state and federal funding, legislation, and policy beneficial to Lake Tahoe. Senator Heller is the only member of Lake Tahoe's congressional delegation to have served on TRPA's governing board. As Nevada's Secretary of State, he served on the board for nearly a decade, including as chair in 2001 and 2002, presiding over the landmark Scenic Shoreland Ordinance decision. This policy was a heavy lift and one that Senator Heller used significant political capital to push over the finish line. our threshold evaluations have proven that the adoption of that policy, those policies, significantly improve the scenic quality along the shoreline, ensuring that homes and other structures would blend into the natural landscape to a much greater degree. Senator Heller hosted several Lake Tahoe summits where he focused the basin's attention on public-private partnerships, transportation, economic development, and wildfire. His leadership in the United States Senate was also instrumental to the passage of the Lake Tahoe Restoration Act in 2016. The Lake Tahoe Restoration Act authorized up to $415 million for Lake Tahoe, funding which has proven extremely critical to the health, protection, and restoration of our lake. And I would be remiss if I did not also mention that Senator Heller has inspired many Nevadans, including me, to follow in his footsteps and to dedicate their time and resources to Lake Tahoe. He makes that clear. His efforts have definitely inspired me and many others. Senator Heller, thank you for your unwavering commitment to protect Lake Tahoe. And I see that you're on the video and would love to introduce you and have you comment on this award. And you're on mute. You're on mute. Yeah, you're on. You're still on mute. You're still on mute.
There we go.
Perfect.
How's that? All right. Perfect. Good, good. Hey, first of all, Mark, thank you.
Absolutely.
And Mr. Chairman, members of the board, it's a pleasure. It really is an honor to be here today. Unfortunately, this is a sign of the times where here we are on Zoom having this meeting. I will tell you, my favorite part of serving on that board was getting out of my daily routine down in Carson City and be able to come up at least once a month and take a look at that lake. So anyway, we'll get through this. Together we'll get through this. But anyway, it's great. Great to be here. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be part of this distinguished group of people that have done great things for the state of Nevada, you know, including my colleagues, Senator Feinstein and Senator Reed, people that I admire highly, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to have been able to serve with them. And as much as we did while we were in Congress, I will have to say that probably the most enjoyable part of this was the work that I did when I was sitting on the board itself. I know that Julie brought up the magazine, Tahoe in Depth, and Jeff DeLong did a great article on that scenic ordinance and the efforts of getting that passed. And I will tell you that when I reluctantly became chairman of the board, I did ask staff, what's our biggest issue? What's the toughest thing that's in front of us right now? And they said it was the scenic ordinance. I said, well, let's solve this. So I had 2 years as chairman of that board to solve that. And it was a heavy lift. And I don't take all the credit for this. In fact, if there's anything that I would have changed in Jeff's article, which I thought was great, was giving more people credit for the work that went into making this happen. I couldn't have done it without Larry Sevenson. I noticed that he jumped off this, but Larry Sevenson was a solid person that really helped me get this done. For some of you that remember back in the day, Jerry Waldy, he also was a wonderful a participant. And that was the best part about the board, is getting together, putting our heads together and solving these problems that affect the lake the most. But it wasn't just the board. It was the staff also. I mean, there were members of the staff that I can remember and some that you've talked about here. By the way, Coach Swob was part of all this also. It was great to see him as a recipient of this, because he had as much influence and impact and effect that anybody else did. But so did Steve Teixeira. So it was great to be able to stand side by side with good people, great people that had nothing but solid thoughts going forward on what we could do to improve the lake. But Carl Hasty, John Marshall, Julie Reagan, all of them were just incredible in order to get this done. So anyway, it was a team effort, but I'm pleased. My family was up at the lake as early as this week, before the storms. Our grandchildren were up there, and as in the article, I went to the lake with my grandparents, and now I'm taking my grandchildren up to this lake, and I want to tell you guys, you're doing a great job. To members of the board, and Shelly, I can't believe you're still on that board. That just speaks of your dedication all these years and all your hard work to make this happen. But boy, you guys are doing a great job, because I was looking out at that lake and I could not have been more pleased at that beauty and what this board has done, what's done in the past, what it's doing now, especially, and of course, in the future. I'm sure we'll get just as dedicated people up there. But anyway, thank you. I just want to tell everybody here on this board, you know, thank you. It was a labor of love. And I'm sure that anybody that received this award would tell you the same thing. This is a beautiful place, and it needs our help and thoughtful efforts to keep it as pristine as it is. So thank you.
Thank you. It looks like Shelley has a comment.
Shelley. I'm not surprised.
My ears were burning and my name was invoked. So, Dean, it's nice to see you and see your face and hear your voice. I want to thank you personally for your service to Lake Tahoe, but also to the state of Nevada and to the United States Senate. You know, and I suspect your service to the public and a lot of other worthy causes is not yet finished. That is, if we can drag you away from your ranch in the Smith Valley, I suspect you're enjoying your retirement. Please give my very best to Lynn and you.
Thank you. As you know, Shelly, I'm currently working for my wife, and unfortunately, she gave me some time off so that I could be here with all of you today.
Fantastic. Okay, so you've become a house husband.
That's right. That's right. I like it, too.
That's great.
Thank you, Shelly.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bet.
So we're at the 2010s. We're honoring the TMDL team, and this seems so appropriate that I should be honoring an acronym that the agency has created. And the other name, Mark, let me look at it. Oh, it's Joanne Marchetta.
Joanne.
Wow.
I see that.
So is that, I don't know what that is. But anyway, before we honor our recipients for the 2010 decade, let me just say, as really what Senator Heller said, that our recent history has brought out even more champions for the lake. From the creation of the Tahoe Fund, the Tahoe Prosperity Center, to the League to Save Lake Tahoe's community-grounded citizen engagement, the Tahoe community is coming together more than ever to face the challenges of the 21st century head-on. There are just so many people. So many individuals, so many organizations that we work together to help keep this lake blue, and also to maintain the sustainability of the communities in and around the basin. So the first award for the 2010 decade goes to the Lake Tahoe Total Maximum Daily Load Team. They developed a plan to restore Lake Tahoe's fame clarity, which was no small task. Like everything at Tahoe, it required an unprecedented partnership. The Lahontan Water Board, the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency led the charge on what ultimately became known as the total maximum daily load, along with the public academic institutions, federal research partners, and private consultants that provided critical science support. The team delivered a science-based plan that formed the framework for the environmental policy. The TMDL program required states and other responsible entities to identify the pollutants causing water quality harm. For Lake Tahoe, this meant digging deep into the drivers of the lake's clarity and performing a detailed accounting of pollutant sources. The TMDL team partnered with scientists both near and far, leveraging local universities' experience at Lake Tahoe and bringing in national experts on stream systems and watershed analysis. Working together with scientists to craft the Clarity Restoration Plan, the TMDL team set a new standard for science-based community engagement in the Tahoe region. The TMDL team delivered a water quality restoration plan in 2011 that serves as the gold standard throughout the nation for science-based policymaking in the Tahoe Basin. Without question, the TMDL changed the way we think about Lake Tahoe's clarity and our understanding of how to restore it. The new emphasis on very, very fine sediment shifted the way we manage our roads and highlighted the importance of stream restoration and watershed protection. In the face of climate change and other new threats, the TMDL team continues to take a measured approach to managing clarity that is supported by science. And Jennifer Carr came on earlier on, and I know she's here, and she's here to represent the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection. And Jennifer, thank you for coming, and congratulations, and you have something to say. And hopefully your mic is on. I'm not sure.
Nope, still on mute. Nope.
You gotta turn on your mic. But how do you guys get my attention when I have my mic off?
She can hear us. She's just looking for the mic.
It looks like her mic is on too.
I think what she needs to do is go to her keyboard and increase the volume on the keyboard itself, because sometimes it's a dual issue. So if you go to the keyboard itself, there should be.
Hello.
Hi, Jennifer.
I just unplugged my headphones and got rid of that microphone altogether.
Great.
So, well, thank you. Thank you very much. We do have colleagues here today, Ben Letton from the Lahontan Regional Water Quality Control Board and Jack Landy from the Federal Environmental Protection Agency are with us today as well. But for those of you I have not met, I'm Jennifer Carr. I'm a Deputy Administrator for the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection. And I am proud to accept this award on behalf of the NDEP. You know, the spirit of TRPA is just such a spirit of collaboration, and that very spirit amongst the state, the local, and the federal agencies we work with, and truly a countless list of really valued stakeholders, you know, that spirit is all fundamental to the success of our ongoing implementation of the Tahoe TMDL. We certainly can't do it alone. And, you know, with each decade of program development and implementation, we've had new challenges to address. And as you mentioned, we've got upcoming efforts to handle the effects of climate change. And we'll be learning from new science that really deepens our understanding of the interconnectedness of the Tahoe ecosystems. And all of that work, not just of the past, but going forward, will continue to exercise our spirit of collaboration and that collaborative skill set. With this award, I would really like to celebrate Jason Kuchnicki, who's also on the line today. I wanted to make sure he heard this firsthand. Jason has committed his career-long efforts and passion for improving Tahoe's deep lake clarity and near-shore water quality and truly a healthy basin-wide environment. While others in NDP's leadership team have come and gone, Jason's been working in this area and its alphabet soup of committees since inception of this effort in 2001, when the TMDL was in its initial planning stages. Jason has provided a steady guiding hand throughout the years, and for that, NDEP and the TMDL team are truly grateful. So I'll keep that brief. So I just wanted to thank you so much for honoring the work of the agencies during this milestone year at TRPA.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks so much. Do we have any board members?
No. Ben, I believe, is going to speak, or maybe not.
Oh, there he is.
Hi, Ben.
Thank you. I really just want to really quickly thank TRPA for the recognition. You know, I just echo everything that Jennifer just touched on, and I just wanted to mention a few names. The development of the TMDL on behalf of, or on the part of Lahontan was before my time. So I just stand on the shoulders of just amazing work done by a really great team, you know, here at Lahontan. So I wanted to recognize Bob Larson for working with the urban jurisdictions and for managing the U.S. EPA-funded work on the Pollution Reduction Opportunity Report, the Integrated Water Quality Management Strategy, and the Lake Clarity Crediting Program. Also, Hannah Shrimbri, now Bartholomew, for managing the science advisor contract, completing the responses to scientific peer review and updates the technical and final reports. Ms. Carly Nielsen for handling the references, web page updates, and all the last minute logistics and document fixes. Mr. Dan Sussman for helping address climate and wildfire effects. And then, you know, emphasis with Mr. Bob Larson and Hannah Bartholomew for being the primary authors on the final TMDL report, and to Harold Singer, who is our executive officer, now retired, also assistant executive officer Lori Kemper, now retired, and Doug Smith, assistant executive officer, now retired, for their support from our management team on this TMDL effort.
Thank you, Ben, for recognizing that. And we're fortunate to have Bob Larson on our team here at TRPA as part of the Science Council.
Yes, thank you, Ben. Thanks for all your hard work, Jennifer.
Yes, all of you. So I don't see any board comments. And so, Mark. You're up.
Yes.
With the final awardee.
Yes. Yes. I think we might have a few comments on this one. So I'm going to say a few. I'm going to kind of go through the regular, you know, comments, and then I'm going to get a little bit personal, and then everybody else can pile on. So Joanne has delivered transformative change during her historic record of service as TRPA's executive director since 2009. That's a decade of service as executive director. Her passion for partnership has been a catalyst for what we now call epic collaboration at Lake Tahoe. From delivering an updated regional plan in 2012 to the record accomplishments of a new shoreline plan, development rights, Highway 50 revitalization, and the event center projects. Joanne's leadership at Tahoe Regional Planning Agency has been nothing short of transformational. We're living in the world of COVID, and I know a lot of us, because of that, have been watching Netflix lately. For me, the story of protecting Tahoe reminds me of watching an inspirational movie, living it and watching it at the same time, based on a true story. It's my favorite genre, Saving Private Ryan, McFarlane, The Perfect Game, Critical Thinking, are a few of those based on true story movies that come to mind. If our honorees are our movie stars, then I think Joanne must be our director. I don't think anyone has directed the prep and staging of more scenes or cut and edited more film to create more successful outcomes in our true life movie than Joanne. Above all, Joanne has helped us understand that we need each other. We're all part of this real life movie that we are creating. She makes sure that we'll find our way into the credits, whether or not our names actually appear. Thank you, Joanne, and thanks for all the honorees and everybody who's contributed to Lake Tahoe for helping inspire the making of our true Tahoe story.
Well, Mark, that was remarkable. That was something that was nicely said for the incoming board chair, but let me tell you, Joanne will not cut you any slack, no matter how nice you might possibly be. So Joanne, you are up. I see you have a minute, and I do have my timer on. So
I can see the green lights. honestly, it is extremely humbling to be part of the group of honorees today, and I'm deeply, deeply appreciative to the board and the APC and the staff. And for me, I think the stars aligned for me years ago. It put me in kind of an interesting way. The stars aligned in kind of a paradoxical way, but it put me in the right place at the right time to draw on both a set of interests and passions and strengths that I have. And when I came here in 2005, of course, it was the mountains and the lake that drew me, but there was something else that took hold for me, because what I saw were deep divides. And I just became more and more and more interested in, I just believed in my gut that we could bridge those divides, because we were talking so much more about what we couldn't accomplish than what we could. And so here I am, and I get to work in this spectacular place and at a landscape scale. I get to do all the things that I love. I get to work with issues that run the full gamut. You know, we have this full plate of complex systems change that we work with, so it's never dull. It's never uninteresting. And I get to work with amazing teams of people, board, APC, employees, you know, staff, leaders of other organizations, hundreds of partners. But then, honestly, the most important thing that I get to do is bring a set of values to TRPA that I think was at the root of my soul. And it's a value set around what I call collaborative leadership. And it's a value system that's rooted in common ground and sharing power and finding collaborative consensus solutions and listening to other people and respecting diverse views. And honestly, today in the world, it's just a set of values that's in too short supply. So it's also, collaborative leadership is the hardest thing on the planet. And I think it takes a different set of skills, and our staff is so good at it. So the work here has been just tremendously fulfilling, and is, I think it's been fulfilling for me. It's been more fulfilling, I think, for the basin. And it's been more challenging than I ever, ever imagined it would be. And the staff has heard me say 100 times, well, without a good challenge, what's the point? So thank you, everybody. Thank you, everyone, for the recognition. I couldn't have done it without all of you. And, you know, all of you who are willing to collaborate in a common cause to protect a place that we so love and that so sustains us. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Joanne. Your leadership is extraordinary. You get blamed for most everything, and you get at least we get to recognize you for all that you have done. And I know as chair, the biggest benefit I've had is the time that you spent to develop a staff and that works so well together. It really makes my job so easy when I just kind of drop into projects and issues. I often joke about just parachuting into the lake, but the staff that I'm working on my favorite issue right now, vehicle miles traveled, for example, is just extraordinary. So I'm most grateful for that. I think it's been for me an interesting time for someone who is simply looking for a part-time job to be involved after the approval of the regional plan, but also to help in the implementation of it. And your leadership really is extraordinary, and I appreciate your friendship. And so I'll turn it over to the other members of the board who might want to say something. I see Brooke Lane is up.
Thank you, Mr. Yates. Oh my goodness,
around politics, never participate at the TRPA level. But Joanne, you definitely were an attraction to wanting to join this board. Just your style was attractive. You're wise, you're fair, you're very strategic and very intelligent. I always enjoy our bi-monthly meetings with you and Julie. And I always drive to the meetings, or in the old days when I would drive to the meetings before Zoom became Zoom. I always would think, I don't know what we need to talk about. And we would fill 2 hours in no time, and we'd have to throw some things to the side for the next meeting. I've just learned so much from you. Your leadership on collaboration is becoming a new norm here locally at all different levels. And I really thank you for that. And I also just want to thank you for being a very powerful role model. You're amazing.
Thank you, Brooke. And I skipped over Shelley, and I apologize. Shelley, you're up too.
Thank you, Bill. Well, you know, I remember being on the interview committee when Joanne applied for the general counsel position, and I distinctly remember a question I asked her to kind of get a sense of where she was philosophically. And I said, Joanne, you know, in your opinion, is a good lawsuit better than a semi-good settlement? And she responded that she would opt for the latter, you know, a semi-good settlement rather than going and litigating. And I knew at that moment that this was a woman who could drive agreement and drive compromise. And then I'd like to think that I kind of single-handedly persuaded Joanne to leave her role as agency counsel and take over the reins of the TRPA as executive director. Some may dispute that, but I remember distinctly having a private conversation with her when it was apparent that John Singlob was leaving the agency, and she thought it over and ultimately, to our benefit, agreed to become our ED. And, you know, I told Joanne, and I don't know if Joanne will remember this conversation some time ago, that, you know, I would continue to serve on the board for as long as she served as ED. Little did I know that she never intended to retire. So what's the deal, Joanne? You know, to use Mark's analogy, I'm ready to ride into the sunset. But listen, thank you so much for all that you've done and for your leadership and for your willingness to give 110% every day of the week. And you have made a huge difference in the agency's ability to weather the storm of controversy and to come up with reasonable solutions to some very thorny problems. So thank you again.
Thank you, Shelley. I remember that promise you made. So
I may renege.
Yeah. Watch out, Shelley. So Sue, I won't step on your line, but you're up next.
Well, I really loved the analogy from Mark of you being the movie director in Tahoe, and one of my favorites is Martin Scorsese. So I have to say you are the Martin Scorsese of Lake Tahoe, as far as I'm concerned, and you are the Wolf of Wall Street, girl. You do an amazing job, and you have just really set everybody on the right course, and you continue to do so. And you know, your hard work, dedication to doing what we need to do in Tahoe, and you know, you're out there constantly battling for that. And I can't tell you how much to appreciate, you know, your hard work for the environment and the peace of Lake Tahoe. It's a tough job. I don't know how you do it, but I appreciate everything you do. Thank you, Joanne. You're so well deserving.
Thank you, Sue. Really appreciate it.
Casey, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Joanne, congratulations on a milestone achievement. I've been on the board as long as you've been the executive director, so it's a real it's a tribute to your excellence and your leadership that you not only pull the board together, but you pull the staff with you. And I wanted to make a comment about a couple of years ago when I led my chamber team to come up and visit Lake Tahoe and see the sights of what how you do things in the Lake Tahoe. And in the meeting that you led at the agency with our group in the audience, you left them with one word, collaboration. And I think that is the tribute that you do for Lake Tahoe. So thank you for all you do, and congratulations again.
Thank you, Casey.
Thank you, Casey. Cindy.
Well, congratulations, Joanne, and I really can't add too much more than all the wonderful things and well-deserved things that have been said about you. But I can add, from a perspective of working in the basin in a small agency, and the honor and respect you shared with me early on, to respect the role of so many of the partners, whether large or small, and what it takes to build a team that's going to protect this incredible lake. And your incredible knowledge, your vision, your dedication really led to the transformation and the 2012 regional plan that we can all be so proud of. And the collaboration was shown at every level. So I thank you for that, Joanne. And I'm so glad to be part of the team that gets to work with you much more now. So thank you.
Thank you, Cindy.
Secretary Sagaski, you're up.
Thank you so much for recognizing me. And Joanne, I don't even know where to start. You just are a rock star to me. You have always shown nothing but kindness, willingness to help. I've had tours and learned so much about Lake Tahoe. Even though I had a condo up there for 24 years, I never learned as much as I have since I've been on TRPA. I was in the session when things were talked about dissolving it and getting out of the partnership with California. So I know the history from my predecessors in the legislature and in different positions. But since you've been on, Joanne, I mean, things have turned around. You have done such a fabulous job. But I just personally want to thank you for everything that you have done and for what you do. I mean, every single day, you're nonstop, you're returning phone calls. I just can't thank you enough, and I'm so happy that you get the Spirit Award for 2010. And you're just, like I said, these pictures are beautiful pictures. I have to tell you, those represent you, that smile. And I just want to say that thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. She returns calls. Wow, awesome. Mark, there's hope. It's up here. So I don't see any others. I think it's time to open up public comment on this matter. Joanne, thank you. Well deserved. So Catherine, do you want to open up the for public comment on the Spirit of Tahoe Award winners?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. If any member of the public wishes to make a comment on this item, you can raise your hand on the left-hand side of your control panel, and it looks like V would like to speak again. Go ahead, V.
Great. Thank you, Catherine, and thank you, Bill. I wanted to add another comment from Dr. Goldman. He just said thank you again to TRPA for this award. He regrets that his computer and phone skills did not meet the requirements of coming through, but he was able to follow the meeting through his phone. And he said most of the awardees have done the heavy political lifting of taking the flak and moving the best efforts of protecting the lake moving forward. Had I been able to speak, I would have made the important observation that without the LT, SLT, and the heroes of the organization from the first organizers and legal expertise of my good friend Dwight Steele, none of the science would have penetrated the political fog that so often obscures the truth. The league, with leadership over the years by people like Darcy, make the transition to the public understanding of the problems understandable. Climate change must be faced on both the global and local scene as we move forward. So that is
from Dr. Goldman. And just personally, I want to thank everybody who showed up today, and especially to our wonderful MCs, Bill and Mark. Thank you for just representing what Lake Tahoe and really people overall should be. And we look forward to the next 50 years.
Well, thank you, Victoria.
Victoria, don't disappear, because this was an opportunity, because, you know, behind Julie Reagan is Victoria Ortiz. And thank you so very much for the work that you did. I know just following through, trying to get everybody and check in and have that. This has been just well done. And it was easy for me, at least, to follow your script and to award these amazing people that have helped to contribute to protection of Lake Tahoe. Your time and effort.
And very uplifting. Yes. Very positive. It made my day. It made my day. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you all.
Any other public comments, Catherine?
No, Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised to make public comment.
Okay. Well, I don't know. For me, I need to take at least a 5-minute break before we go to the planning matters. So it's now 12. Why don't we reconvene at 12:40? Is that okay? You can scream at me if you think this is wrong.
Yes. No, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
12:40. We'll reconvene. It is now 12:40. We are at planning matters, item 7. And item 7A is the TRPA Strategic Direction 2020 and beyond. Boy, beyond 2020 I would welcome. And so this can be found at page 75. And also there was the actual TRPA Strategic Direction was sent out yesterday by Maria, who was unfortunately left off the main packet. So if you'll see this very fine document that Joanne and Julie are going to talk about here. And as a reminder to the public, after staff presentation and board discussion, you may raise your hand in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. So I'll now pass this over to the award-winning Joanne Marchetta and Julie Reagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Joanne Marchetta, I'll be handling this item, and really, it's a short information item that's going to build just a bit on what we just heard and celebrated as part of the spirit of TRPA, which is why we packaged it up at this meeting with the Spirit Awards. So what you all received was a summary document that tells in a few short pages the 50-year story of TRPA that we just heard. It places our history alongside what are our current strategic initiatives, which and that set of challenges that we now have in front of us. We honestly prepared this document in anticipation of changes in our TRPA governing board membership, as inevitably happens with time at every election and at every change in administration. There is the potential for bringing in new members of our governing board. So this document was really a recognition on our part that our 2014 strategic plan is now too dated, really, to use as orientation material for new members. And so you all know we regularly update our strategic work initiatives through our annual work plans, and we thought now was a good time, and perhaps the best time, in conjunction with our 50th anniversary, to wrap those current initiatives into a more versatile and succinct, up-to-date strategic summary document. So we produced the document that you all received, Strategic Direction 2020 and Beyond, And it's designed to summarize really who is TRPA, the history of where we've been, and more importantly, where are we now headed? And in our view, this can be used not just with new governing board members, but also with new staff. So we're going to make sure that Devin gets this on his reentry as we roast him for the shortest boomerang employee of probably our history. But I'm sorry. On a more serious note,
he's back.
We will use this document with both governing board and staff. But the most important piece of this document really is its key message. And that key message is what we've just been talking about, the 50-year legacy of collaboration and partnership, which is really the bedrock of Tahoe's preservation. And you heard a little bit of this from Clem. Over 50 years, we have evoked polarized viewpoints and deep divides time and time again. But every time there's trouble, the core value, the North Star, if you will, for TRPA and for Tahoe's success is this idea of collaborative leadership, which is the willingness of multi-sector partners to come together, coordinate across boundaries, bring shared purpose, bring shared goals, develop shared goals, and engage in collective problem solving to generate shared solutions for Tahoe. It has become the secret sauce for breakthroughs in Tahoe's progress. And that collaborative leadership, we want board members and staff and others to recognize it is indelibly embedded in the DNA of TRPA because it's in our compact. It is the partnership approach of two states, the federal government, all the local jurisdictions that touch the lake, and the private sector. And over the last decade, honestly, that culture has now taken hold in really a shared regional mindset. Occasionally, we encounter bumps in the road, but it's been put into very broad practice, and it needs to continue, and it needs to be cultivated and nurtured. And so in our view, it has been the governing boards of the last decade that have really embraced this commitment to what we call EPIC collaboration as the primary strategic direction for the region. And we believe that that legacy was so crucial, we wanted that core value of collaborative leadership to be written down, to be memorialized for those who come after us. And we wanted new governing board members, new staff, and any key stakeholders to understand that core value is just simply the way we do business here. So, I'll offer this future hope for us next year. I hope that we emerge from the worsening throes of COVID that we're in right now, and hopefully we'll have a governing board retreat, and preferably it'll be in person, but even if it's not, I hope to have that retreat for us. And we would use this updated strategic direction together with the current work plan as essentially an update to what is now the dated 2014 strategic plan, and use that to orient new governing board members on direction and priorities. So I'll end there and happy to take any comments or questions from the board.
Thank you very much, Joanne. I think I'm gonna use that document. I got a call with my appointing authority on Friday, so I think I'm gonna, in advance of that call, send out this strategic thing and essentially emphasize the collaboration that we have actually been working on since I have been on TRPA. And, you know, honestly, whether it's the fact that it's the lake, the iconic nature of the lake that, when you think about it, that made Harry Reid scratch his head and think about how do I have some big federal event, but actually brought President Clinton out, invited later President Obama out. It is. I think something extraordinary that we here work collaboratively across partisan divide, across local, public, whatever it might be. We have we work together for a common purpose. And, you know, that we, this nation needs that, honestly. We need to find that. To me, as iconic a lake as it is, the country itself is pretty iconic, and hopefully we can start it here or whatever, but we do need working together, caring for one another and listening to one another and coming up with solutions that address some of the common ills that we have, but at the same time looking forward for the things that we care about. And we've done it here, and we've done it thanks to your leadership, but also I do agree. I have enjoyed being chair for 2 years with a group of people that work well collegially. Always have, ever since I came on this board. I was warned about divisions on this board that I never saw. And I'm grateful for that. I think we've accomplished a lot. And we wouldn't have done it had we lived it within our own little silos. And you just can't do that. So I appreciate this strategic direction, also your comments, your leadership, and the camaraderie of my colleagues on this board. So any other comments from my colleagues? Questions for Joanne? It looks like we took all the air out of the balloon, Joanne, so I think we'll move on to the Main Street. Oh, wait a minute. This is an item. So, excuse me. Catherine, do we have any public comment?
Wow. Mr. Chair, I see no hands raised to make public comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. So I'll close public comment. And any further comments from my colleagues? I don't see any on the chat. No one's speaking up. So I thank you for that item and information. And yes, I look forward to a retreat next year. That would be nice. So we're on to 7B, which is the Main Street Management Plan and acceptance of the complete components and partial satisfaction of the US 50 South Shore Community Revitalization Project Permit, Main Street Management Plan Condition of Approval. Wow, what a mouthful. It's item number 7B. You can find that at page 77 of our packet. And as a reminder to the public, after staff presentation and board discussion on this item, you may raise your hand in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. And now I pass it over to Alyssa Bettinger for presentation. Alyssa?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Hang on just 1 second while I share my screen.
Okay.
Tracy, are you able to give me a screen share?
Yeah, I'm just trying to, Maria or Catherine, if you're available, could you please make Alyssa the presenter? I've lost the attendees on my menu.
Okay, Alyssa, I just tried to hit it.
See if that works, Alyssa.
You see it? We've lost your mic. I recall this happened to the New York Times yesterday on their national webinar.
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, Alyssa. Welcome back.
Thank you. And can you see my screen?
I can.
Great. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I'm Alyssa Bettinger, Associate Planner with TRPA. I am here bringing the final Main Street Management Plan for consideration of approval by the Governing Board today. Last month, which was only 3 weeks ago, you may remember we did an informational update on this plan where I went into detail on the various pieces of the plan. Today, I will not go into as much detail, but really the intent is to give you a high-level review of what's included in the Main Street Management Plan and talk about the comments we received and how we address them. You all know that the Main Street Management Plan is one of the permit conditions for the South Shore Community Revitalization Project, and it's looking at what will become of existing Highway 50, what's shown in orange here between Lake Parkway and Pioneer Trail after the highway is realigned. We're asking you to consider the first three components that you see here on the slide for approval, which would partially satisfy the Main Street Management Plan condition. So street design, wayfinding, and performance measures. The remaining three components, transit, parking management, ownership, and ownership operations and maintenance plan, would come in the next phase. And the reason for this piecemeal approach is getting your approval on these, on the conceptual design that we're bringing today, will allow us to go into that 60% design phase, or what we refer to as a bit more detailed design where we start to get into the engineering, and it helps us to identify where the right-of-way boundaries are, and also helps us to start and continue working with the local jurisdictions and the property owners along this corridor to identify who would be best to take ownership and develop the ownership, maintenance, and operations plan. The parking management plan and the transit really go hand in hand. TTD and their consultants are working on the parking management, a set of parking management recommendations for this corridor right now, and they're anticipating to bring those recommendations forward to the Governing Board in early next year while they continue to work with stakeholders, with parking stakeholders in this area. The transit component is included in this document. There is a section about transit, but it is more focused on the transit infrastructure of what's included in this, the design of this corridor. We are, there's a transit circulator requirement that will be further looked at with or in conjunction with the parking management plan in the future. A quick look at the process that we used to develop this plan. Back in January of 2019, we developed a steering committee, which was made up of staff from TRPA, TTD, city, and Douglas County managers. And they really helped us look at the technical details throughout the process. We formed about an 18-member stakeholder working group, which a few of the Governing Board members were on. This group was made up of business owners, local residents, local jurisdiction partners, and environmental representatives. And this group really helped us make some decisions on the policy and design as we moved through the process. And everything that we decided with the stakeholder working group, we vetted with the community. So we had a variety of public open houses where we were able to collect quite a few comments about what people wanted to see. And then I can't forget about our great consultant team that helped guide us through the facilitation process and develop the design that you see before you today. This was the consultant team was led by the Design Workshop Denver office, also included City ID, Fair and Pierce, and Orca. This is a quick snapshot of those various public input sessions that we held. Again, we wanted this to be a hub for not only visitors, but residents. So we really targeted our outreach at the local community and were able to collect, you know, many comments, as you can see on the map in the slide here, of what people felt was working well and what needed improvement. And ultimately this summer, we
arrived at the proposed street design that you see today that meets the needs of the community while using a multimodal street design approach. And the plan is broken out into the uses that you see here. And I will quickly go over each one of these a little bit less in depth than I did last month. With the first use being pedestrians. Currently, as anyone who spent time on the street probably knows, there's a pretty vast difference between what you see in the pedestrian realm and on the California side versus the Nevada side. The Heavenly Village and the village core in general has done a great job with the redevelopment in allocating quite a bit of space for pedestrians, but on the Nevada side and getting down on the corridor towards Pioneer Trail, those sidewalks and pedestrian amenities sort of go away. And so the plan recommends a minimum of 8 feet of sidewalk throughout the corridor, larger where we had additional space to work with. We are also adding 4 additional crosswalks for a total of 10 throughout the corridor, which is seen on this slide in these white dots. The plan proposes a shared use path that would run along the lakeside here and connect into the existing shared use path that ends near the Pioneer Trail intersection, and it would also connect into future plans for multimodal access near Cale. And then looking a bit further than just the main street itself, we're proposing to extend the design and the facilities of Main Street to the surrounding streets, like Pine Boulevard, like State Line Ave, Transit Way, and Heavenly Village Way, to really try to push and provide a natural guide for people to continue on from Main Street to the surrounding recreation sites like Vansickle and down to the lake. And here's a quick look at what that would look like. That shared use path is here, and you can see there's some landscaping which provides a buffer between the various uses. The next use is bike infrastructure. As anyone who has biked through here, it's not exactly ideal. We heard quite a few comments from people that when they're biking in this area, they either avoid this corridor completely, or when they do ride their bike through here, they'll take up an entire lane. So in order to provide connections to the existing and proposed network, bike network on either ends of the corridor, the plan proposes dedicated bike lanes on both sides of the street, which you can see is the blue line here. And then bikes can also use that multi-use path that I talked about in my previous slides. And here's a quick look at what that would look like. The shared use path is in brown here with the dedicated bike lane here. With this plan, we understood that vehicle access would no longer be the first priority, but we still needed to understand how vehicles would travel through this corridor to their destinations within the corridor and surrounding the corridor. So today, the highway that we have right now is very much designed for cars. And during these peak pedestrian times, we see major backups going all the way down to Ski Run and sometimes beyond in those summer and winter months. And so the goal of the vehicle section in the plan is to maintain vehicle access to these destinations within the corridor, but not jeopardize the safety for the non-auto modes. The vehicle section proposes one travel lane in each direction with a center turn lane where necessary to provide that access to businesses. We've narrowed driveway widths wherever possible just to increase that safety for bikes and pedestrians. We've relocated departures away from Main Street. So vehicle access, you can enter a destination from Main Street, but wherever possible, we've pushed exit points either to what will be Highway 50 on the bottom of the slide or down to Lake Parkway and Pine Boulevard on the top. And looking into the future, we've also provided some space allocated just for rideshare pickup and drop-off locations. We heard that there are conflict zones where people are pulling out into transit areas right now. So we've tried to provide dedicated space for different uses. Here's a quick look at what that would look like. You can see a travel lane in each direction and a center turn lane going down the middle right here. The proposed plan includes infrastructure improvements as well, transit infrastructure improvements, excuse me. We're proposing a total of 6 transit stops throughout this core, so one in each major zone. And each of these would have a dedicated shelter to help with ridership in the winter. We all know that standing at a transit stop without a shelter when it's dumping snow in the winter like today is difficult. We've also provided dedicated bus pullouts to prevent traffic backups and also to provide additional safety for people getting on and off of the bus. The general transit network will remain as it is today, with the State Line Transit Center remaining in the same location. Our hope here is that, and you may have noticed on the pedestrian map slide, is that Transit Way will become more of a focal point because of the future pedestrian bridge to Vansickle. And so we're hoping that because people will be walking by the transit center, there will be a positive increase in transit ridership. Again, a quick look at what the transit improvements would look like. You can see the transit pullouts right here and an example of what a shelter could look like. The plan also includes a section on activation. And I think that we've all realized that having potential for an activated street this summer is very important. We define activation as anything that really provides a use that attracts people to the outdoor realm. So outdoor dining, retail, event space, street vendors. And we've looked at a variety of event closure scenarios in the plan and how we would maintain that vehicle access and the service and delivery access to these key businesses if we were to shut down the street for either an entire event closure, which you can see here, or potentially looking at a California or Nevada side street closure. And the document does provide pretty detailed plans of what that would look like, what that access would look like. And again, here is a human perspective of what an event like a farmer's market would look like on the corridor. So last month, we asked our partner organizations and community members for feedback on the plan. We got lots of support, or we heard a lot of support for the plan. I think people in general are really excited to see this street be transformed into something that it's not currently. We also heard some, or we also received some comments that helped inform the plan. The first being the need for quick wins. So obviously this project is probably more than a few years out, realistically. And so we've included a next steps chapter in the document that describes what we can do between now and then to sort of use the space and the funding that we do have now to start making these changes. Obviously, the highway will still be running through this corridor, but there are changes that we can make to the pedestrian route to start realizing this proposal. We also heard from a few individual property owners that their access needs to be maintained from Main Street. So there are a couple property owners that they don't have access from exit points, or from, I guess, rear exit points. And so during Event Street closures, we've provided recommendations for how those businesses could be accessed. We've provided an expanded green infrastructure section based on a few comments, looking at rain gardens and bioswales and how that relates to the TMDL goals in this area. We've updated the design to include a few different features. So one is what you can see in this slide here. We've included smaller medians at pedestrian crossings just to help with safety and also to provide just a sort of a good visual and breaking up the pavement throughout the corridor. We've also included space allocated for local art throughout the corridor, different areas that can be seen from a variety of spots or plaza-like areas. We've also included an area that could be used for a play space for kids. We also heard that there needs to be an emphasis on transit coordination, which I'll talk about a bit more in the next couple slides. But really, we just want to make sure that the transit is based on the transit need when the project is implemented, and that we're working with the local stakeholders to develop a transit route that works for everyone, especially with the parking and the event center shuttle that will be starting in a couple years. And then we also received quite a few comments about the funding and management plan, which will be addressed in the next phase. A quick look at the next steps for the Main Street Management Plan and the overall South Shore Community Revitalization Project. We currently today are at, on the left side here, where we're asking for your approval of three of the components of the Main Street Management Plan. Again, this will allow TTD to begin looking at the ownership, management, and operations, as well as the funding, the parking management implementation, and the transit plan. Concurrently with those items, TTD will be working on the Pioneer Ski Run housing project and developing the Rocky Point amenities plan. All of these items do need to be complete and will be brought to the TRPA Governing Board for approval before the highway realignment construction can begin. I do want to point out that we received a comment from the League, and the Governing Board did as well, that they would like transit to be included in the second whereas clause in the resolution language. So that would include the transit, which you can see on the slide in red here. This language better reflects the permit condition 3B, which is the Main Street Management Plan permit condition for the South Shore Community Revitalization Project, and makes the resolution more complete. We've discussed this with Carl Hasty from TTD, and he is okay with the change. So this is the action that is being asked of the Governing Board today. I am happy to answer any questions or take any comments at this time. With that, I will pass it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Alyssa. Yes, I have a question simply because I did receive the letter from the League. And so you've added the word transit to the resolution, but they seem to be most exercised over the fact that we were not considering the circulator as part of the approval here. And they're also saying that circulator is part of the permit decision made by this body when we approved the South Shore Revitalization Project. So could you just address their concerns about the transit circulator? And whether we are or are not following through with the permit conditions?
I can, yeah. So you may remember the event center a couple months ago came through, and there's a requirement for the event center to have a micro transit service in this same general area. and John Marshall, feel free to jump in here too, because I think you had some thoughts on this.
Yeah, I'm here. So basically, Bill, what the permit, the first is, let me back up. What is going on here is this is just a whereas clause to the kind of the introduction to the acceptance of the Main Street Management Plan as a partial satisfaction of condition 3B of the US 50 permit. And what I think the league wanted to see was that we were not forgetting that transit, and they would like a specific reference to the circulator, is part of those other plans that need to be submitted. That this Main Street Management Plan is not in satisfaction of those other parts of the plan. So this does not alter the requirements of 3B, which includes reference to the circulator. And so I think both TTD and TRPA staff were comfortable referencing the transit plan condition of 3B, which that is the controlling mechanism that calls for the a transit plan that includes a circulator. So whether you know that circulator in what was contemplated back then is what will eventually be included is an open question. But we felt that the condition really controls, not this whereas clause. So therefore, what we included was just the reference to the transit plan in order to meet what I think is the intent of the league, but at the same time provide any flexibility that the parties might need going forward.
Okay. I guess we'll find out if the league will comment on this as to whether we've satisfied them or not. Thanks. So any questions from my colleagues to Alyssa or John about the fine Main Street Management Plan proposal that we have before us and the hard work the staff and others, as Alyssa pointed, all the people that worked on this plan. It's hopefully a plan that we see implemented. It certainly would be transformative for this area. So I don't see any. No questions from my colleagues. Okay. So I will, Catherine, I think we'll just hear from the public on this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have one hand up so far, Gavin Freiger. I've unmuted you and then also unmute yourself.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Thank you, Gavin.
Hey, fantastic. Well, thanks, Chair and Governing Board members and TRPA staff. You know, this Main Street Management Plan development process has really been one of the more effective working groups we've been part of. Everyone was considerate. All the ideas were considered. TRPA staff did a great job balancing, you know, various and sometimes disparate big visions and specific requests. And like, we definitely know there's a long process ahead of us, but we're excited to keep it moving forward and really excited for some of these quick wins that are identified in the next steps. Our one issue that you guys were just talking about is the transit is a circulator plan. So, you know, this was something that we negotiated over a couple of years, starting with the draft EIS, EIR into the final and then into the permit conditions. And regardless of, you know, the event center microtransit, that's a very separate service and a specific service. And this circulator service is supposed to have pretty specific aspects to it. You know, it talks about headways, it talks about frequency, you know, it has to be in place by the time the loop road is built. So, you know, Mr. Yates, you're right. You know, a big part of it is we want to make sure that this is not forgotten. But we also want to make sure that we don't end up with lesser service. You know, the concerning pieces to us were the potential circulator service, you know, the language that says potential circulator service, the language that says based on funding availability. Like, that was never part of the kind of agreement or what we, you know, negotiated out of the approval of the loop road. So that's the part we really want to make sure that we don't lose, that we don't end up with a lesser service. If it's a different service, if it's a slightly different service area, you know, that's fine. But we want to make sure we don't end up with anything less than what was committed to. So, I think that's it. And just huge props to Alyssa and everybody else. Thank you for incorporating, you know, tons of our other recommendations along with everybody else on the working group. This is like a really exciting plan. It's going to be a huge benefit to the South Shore when it's done. So that's it.
So Gavin, don't run away. So Gavin, you're okay with the partial approval that's before the board right now? The league is okay?
Yeah. I mean, yes, we want to make sure that the transit language, I mean, I think that including just the word transit in that whereas gives us some comfort that it's still committed to. But, you know, that said, we don't want to lose sight of the fact that the short, you know, part of this permit condition is for TTT to update their short range transit plan to include this specific circulator service and that it's in place by the time the Loop Road project is finished.
Okay. So,
and those are permit conditions. So to yes. Mr. Point and everybody else, that's down the road, but we really don't want to lose sight of it.
Okay. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman,
you all. I'm in.
Someone else speaking to me?
This is Carl Hasty.
Oh, hi, Carl. How are you?
Good afternoon. I just want to reinforce to Gavin and the rest of you that we haven't forgotten. TTD is not forgotten. We'll be following the conditions of the permit, and that includes the transit circulator and developing the scenario for that. We will be updating our short-range transit plan. It's on our schedule for the near future, and so we're well aware and we'll not forget it. So I just wanted to reinforce that. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Carl. Any other comments?
No, Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised to make comment.
Okay. Well, I'll close the public comment period and bring it back to the board. Board members, do you have any final comments, questions of staff? If not, I think staff has a motion, a requested motion before us, if someone wants to make that motion.
Yes, Bill, this is Mark.
Go ahead, Mark.
I move yes,
as what are you, the vice chair of this fine effort too, right?
Yeah. I move to approve the completed components and partially satisfy the Main Street Management Plan permit condition.
I'll be more than happy to make it.
Okay, I think Mark has made the motion. I think.
Oh, sorry, Wes. If you want to make the motion, it's more than I'm more than happy with that.
No. Go ahead and do it. I just said if there's a second necessary, please.
We don't do seconds here, even though we do at the Tahoe Transportation District. I never can quite figure out why the difference. But nonetheless, I'm fine with that motion. Pardon me? Here's someone
else. Barbara does the seconds, remember?
Oh, that's right. So, anyway, also, this is one of those votes where we have to have I guess John has said 10 votes. We have to have 5 from each side of the lake. So hopefully everybody is on board for voting for this. And so I now pass it over to Maria for a roll call vote on the motion.
Ms. Alding.
This is not a good sign.
Ms. Alding?
Yes. I'm unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley.
Mr. Beyer?
Yes.
Ms. Burke-Bigler? Ms. Faustinos?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mr. Cashman?
Yes.
Ms. Lane? Ms. Lane? Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Ms. Novosel?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Mr. Rice?
Yes.
And Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Oh, good. All right. Thank you, everybody. And on item number 8, the appeal has been withdrawn. So now we're to item number 9 and reports. And so, Joanne, I don't know if you have anything more to say.
Mr. Chair, I have no report today. So okay. We can move on. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. John Marshall, any quick general counsel comments?
No report today.
Not even an update on all the litigation is challenging us one way or the other. It's good. Okay. Governing board member reports. Item number 10. Do I have any comments from my colleagues? Well, I guess I have just one report as serving on the Tahoe Transportation District. I was drafted by the chair of the Tahoe Transportation District, along with herself and Andy Chapman. We will have some form of public workshop or something to address a lot of the concerns we've been hearing about the mobility hub at Incline Village. I don't know when that ad hoc committee will schedule anything, but we felt it was necessary to allow the public an opportunity to be heard, and the broader public too, to be heard on the question of this potential location of a mobility hub, based on the fact that the Tahoe Transportation District is getting in position to acquire this site. And so that's why it's kind of all gotten a lot of attention now that we're at that point. But I think the public felt they had been left out of the discussion. So I think we'll have some further public meetings on this matter. And that's my sole report. On the committee reports, we've pretty much heard Main Street Management. Yes, yes, yes. I hear someone.
Hi, Mr. Chair. Yes. It's Cindy Gustafson. Hey, Earlier today, I did hear an announcement about one of our board members leaving us, and I thought maybe under board reports he could share that with us. And I'd like to say a few words about his departure.
I'm not leaving till 1st of January, so I get to be around for one more meeting.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe today was your last meeting, Tim. So save that then. I'll have time to compose a good message to you.
right. No, I Cashman can't leave now. I mean, I think we still have the ball and chain on his leg. So.
That's exactly right.
Okay. All right. Whew. Okay. Good. So on committee reports. Housing, Sue, is anything happening? I know we have the Sugar Pine project coming up. It's kind of a collaborative thing.
It's very exciting. I'm kind of using a lot of hats because we have our CSAC meeting as I speak going on. That's the California Association of Counties, and Governor Newsom got on our little Zoom with us and mentioned the project and how excited he was about us working on affordable housing up here. And that was a big feather in all of our caps, a great job. And yeah, it's, you know, it's coming about. We've got a public hearing coming up. Is that tonight, I believe? I'm trying to grab my schedule to see when it is.
I think you're right. It is tonight.
Yeah, 5:30. It's a public forum. From 5:30 to 6:30, if you want, just look up Sugar Pine Village. That's the name of the project. And there'll be a Zoom, and please listen in if you're interested. And then we'll be getting some reports back about more of the working group housing committee that will be reporting to us I believe this next month or two, and then hopefully in the next board meeting I can get some updates on that and bring it back to you. That's a good group that's working more at a staff level on talking about things such as ADUs and other issues that that we can be addressing this next year. So a lot going on in housing, a lot of good news and good things happening.
That's great.
Mr. Chairman, this is John Hester. The Local Government and Housing Committee is scheduled for the 15th.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, John.
The 15th of December?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. All right. Legal Committee, Mark?
Nothing.
Good.
Just a very uplifting award day.
So that appeal that was taken off, is that coming up later or is it not coming up at all?
It's not coming up at all. The issues were resolved and they've withdrawn their appeal.
Okay, thank you. Shelley, we heard from operations and governance. You did a lot today, so I don't know if there's anything more.
Nothing more, Bill. The only thing I wanted to mention is that, as you know, both of the states are, at least the state of Nevada, had requested and has received a 19% reduction in our funding over the next biennium. Chris informed us that they have requested an additional 12% cut, which we will obviously have to contend with. That was not encouraging news, but certainly understandable.
No, I'm sorry to hear that. But it is understandable, but sorry to hear that. Wow. Okay. Tim, EIP, Transportation and Public Outreach. Transportation should be hot pretty soon here with the RTP coming up.
Well, yes. There's been a lot of work done, and there's a lot going to continue to be done, particularly with the bi-state consultation and everything going on. But the approval of the upcoming plan is, we've seen a lot of it this year, and it's going to be a good document and a good plan, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but Joanne said something about you don't move to Montana until we actually approve the regional transportation plan sometimes early in years. Is that correct?
I'm going to dispel that rumor that Shelley started this morning. I'm not moving to Montana. I'm just going to spend much more time up there. I still going to reside in Las Vegas.
I don't blame you. That's a wonderful spot, but
it's too cold in January and February.
Oh,
either.
It's brutal. Yes, I know. unless you're, I guess people think if you're in Helena, that somehow it's like the warm spot. But anyway, oof. Bud, Forest Health and Wildfire, with all these rains, hopefully they got all those fires out on the Nevada side, and we can now talk more about Forest Health.
Well, Mr. Chairman, nothing to report other than the Reno fires missed my house by 4 blocks.
Wow.
And thank you, rain. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. And our pick, we have... we will have something to do on the code changes to the Sugar Pine Housing Project, and we have a TTAC meeting, I think, coming up, which we're involved with, on the wonderful Vehicle Miles Traveled project, and I don't know of anything else. Hester or Marshall, if I've left anything off.
We have a Tahoe. Placer County Tahoe Basin Area Plan amendments scheduled tentatively in the next couple months as well. So you've got plenty of where pick items.
Okay. And with the sugar pine, isn't there an amendment to the Tahoe Valley Area Plan too? Is that?
That's correct.
All right.
Mr. Chair, John Marshall, do you just want to report out on the outdoor dining discussion?
Oh, yes. Oh gosh, how do I explain that, John? So anyway, the Regional Plan Implementation Committee gave direction to staff to work on some language changes that address the question of the difference between dining and seating outdoors, and also to focus in on providing some clarity to folks right now although we're operating underneath an MOU based on the COVID restrictions out there and what you can or can't do, depending upon what color you happen to be on the California side. And I don't know what the colors are on the Nevada side. And that we would codify something so that the restaurants and bars and businesses that want to take advantage of outside seating in order to stay in business, because it's tough right now, that they wouldn't be in violation of our code. And if there were going to be any possible conflicts, we would have a qualified exemption process that hopefully would be quick. And John Hester said, like 3 days, you just notify us that you need to do this and you do it. And as long as it didn't raise a big issue with us, we would allow it to go forward. So those are the things the staff will be working on. I don't know if it comes back to our pick or will come now to the board. But that was our discussion today, I think. How's that, John?
Just to add that the colors on the Nevada side are red, white, and blue.
Oh, good. I like that. All right. So we are now at the item number 12, our final public comment period. And this is any member of the public wishing to address the governing board on any item listed or not listed on the agenda, including items on the consent calendar, may do so at this time. I'm sorry, even though I had my phone dead because I have ear things in, it came through. Let me start over. Our final matter of business is our general public interest comment period. Any member of the public wishing to address the governing board on any item listed or not listed on the agenda, including items on the consent calendar, may do so at this time. Individuals or groups who have already commented on items listed on the agenda are not permitted to comment on that same topic. The governing board is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on or discussing issues raised by the public during this public comment period. We'll hear comments on any single topic not on the agenda for up to but not to exceed 30 minutes. We will hear as many unique comments as possible, and we will hear comments for up to no more than a total of 60 minutes. All unheard comments can be submitted via email to mambler@trpa.org, and will be forwarded to all governing board members. If any member of the public wishes to speak at this time, please raise your hand and go to, in the Go to Webinar. You will be unmuted one at a time by TRPA staff, who will indicate that you have the floor. So staff, you may take over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are no hands raised to make public comment.
Okay. Well, I'll close the public comment period. And now, if there's a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Shelley, I accept your motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to all. The very best.
You as well.
Be safe. Be well. Take care of yourselves. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.